Welcome to the Spin Axis Podcast. I'm Eric Barzeski.
I'm Jason Nickel.
Oh, you want me to introduce myself? I'm Lou Stagner. I'm filling in tonight. It's good to be here.
That's right. Tyson's going to be back with us in a few episodes. We're going to talk with Lou Stagner, famous on Twitter, famous around town, infamous around town. We're going to talk about some of the stats from Lou's newsletter. If you haven't joined, newsletter.loustagnergolf.com. I recommend signing up. You can answer the polls every time. Just pick the bottom or the top answer and you'll be right 95% of the time.
You would be, I get some hate mail from people that say, you got to stop making the worst answer always the correct answer because it's so obvious.
Yes.
And I get those all the time and I go through it. I may have sent you something on this, Eric.
Yeah, I've said that to you.
But I've sent people the stats on how often people get it wrong. I want to say it's close all the time, to... Yeah. I want to say like 67% of the time on the average, people get it wrong. So only 33% are getting it right. There's four answers. If you just randomly picked, you'd be right about 25% of the time. So people are slightly better than random. And it's shocking how many people get some of those wrong. But
that's frightening because I told you I don't even read them. I just pick the bottom one.
Yeah,
you do. Top one sometimes. The last one you did, I think, was the top one, was the worst one or something. Or the highest score or something. But anyway, issue 109 deals with short sighting or long sighting and approach shot.
Yeah.
How did you define short sighting and long sighting?
Well, first we got to get some ground rules out of the way here. Am I allowed to swear on this podcast? We don't swear on my podcast.
I don't, but
I'm
but
on
feel
other
free.
Podcasts that swear a lot. Okay. All right. I didn't know if it was family show and we try to do a family show, so I will keep the cussing to a minimum at the worst. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to talk one of my favorite topics, short sighting it. And there's lots of different ways to define short sighting it, but for the purposes of this analysis, I said short sighted was when you had less than 30% green to work with. So an easy way to think of it is if you are 10 yards from the hole, you would only have 3 yards of green to work with. So the ball would be 7 yards to the edge of the green, and then another 3 yards for the ball to get to the hole. If you were 20 yards from the hole, it would be 6 yards from the edge of the green. So 14 yards to the edge, six to the hole. So that's how I define being short-sighted. Lots of ways you can, but that's what I did for this analysis.
Yep.
Make sense?
Yep. And long-sighted is 75% or more putting green.
Yes, long sighted is 75% or more.
So 20 yards, 15 yards or more putting green.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
You know, 20 yards, you only got, you know, you have 15 yards of green to work with, which is a lot.
Right. So we can kind of, this one's not terribly lengthy because.
No, it's not terribly lengthy, but I think it's a super, super important, important concept for people to understand, especially. Well, it goes for every golfer.
Right.
But it's an important concept to understand, and it'll help you, you know, as you know, you wrote the book on this, the first book on this, it'll help you pick better targets and understand when you should shift.
Right. So at every skill level, for a given length of a shot, people scored higher when they were short-sighted versus long-sighted. True?
Correct.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, shocking. Everyone that's listening to this, I assume golfs. Like you probably don't have any non-golfers listening. And we all know that being short-sighted is significantly more difficult than when you have lots of green to work with. So it's not surprising to see the difference between being short-sighted and long-sighted. Again, across every single skill level, in every yardage that I looked at, I have it over here, out to 34 yards. So from 10 to 34 yards, like being short-sighted is a real kick in the pants.
Do you have a number in there? Is it that they double chip from that, or is it that they don't get close enough to proximity once they're on the green?
So two things are in play. It's a really good question. I don't think I put that in this, but that's a really good question. So number one, the proximity is just, it's a lot longer, right? It's harder to hit those shots close. You're typically, you know, you don't want to flirt with the edge of the green and leave it in the rough. So you're typically carrying it a little bit further. And there's just, for most people, most of the time, there's not a lot of time to stop it. But you know, there's a couple of things that influence short-sighted. And those things, the three things that influence being short-sighted and how difficult the shot is the slope of the green. Like that's one of the things that I think is really important. I don't know if I have, I have one right here, green book. So there's a Straka line green book, right? And to me, one of the things I use this for is when I'm playing and I know where a flag is, I look at the green and I see which way that green is going to be sloping if I were to miss on the short side. And when the green is sloping away from you, that's like check number one. Okay, that's a lot. It's a lot tougher shot.
That's where you put a skull or a red X there.
Yeah, for sure. The other thing that I look at is the direction of the wind. Like wind isn't just for full shots. Mm-hmm. Wind being downwind makes a short-sighted shot tougher. And then the last thing that influences the difficulty level, other than obviously the quality of the lie, is elevation change. Right, the inflection point is about 2 feet, and so you know if it's a little bit more than 2 feet below the level of the green, like that starts to make it even more difficult. So when I come across a situation where if I short-side it, the green's running away from me, like I'm 4 or 5 feet below the level of the green, and it's downwind, like that's like a quadruple red X. It's like you can't short-side it here. You really got to shift targets over, and you got to hit the green on the long side or miss on the long side, because that is going to wreak havoc with your scores when you find yourself in that situation.
Right. So even though amateurs are not playing greens, and these are amateur statistics, these are not PGA Tour.
These are amateur statistics. Stats.
They're from Arcos. What's your title with Arcos?
Data Insights Lead.
Okay. So there you go. And we'll talk a little bit about that at the end. But these are average amateur golfer stats, 0 to 5 index, 5 to 10, 10 to 15, 15 to 20. So these are not PGA Tour stats. So even though we are not playing greens that stimp at 12 plus, that are firm, that has 7-inch rough or anything like that, that you might find on tour, 7-inch rough is a little silly, but these are not tour conditions. These are just the conditions that average golfers are running into. Short-sighting yourself is still bad.
Yep.
Now, the last thing I wanted to point out on this, though, for example, the 0 to 5 index from 10 to 14 yards, short-sided, averages 2.62 shots, okay?
Yep.
Now, if they hit it long-sided, but they're 20 to 24 yards away, they average 2.61 shots. 25 to 29 is 2.7.
Right.
30 to 34, they're averaging 2.76. So there is still some value, even if you're short-sighted, in being closer to the hole.
There's still some value. Yeah, again, it all depends on the situation.
Four blocks away or three blocks away, at least on your chart. So it's not just being a little bit closer is worth much.
Yeah, again, you know, golf is played under varying conditions, varying situations, like, you know, holes just aren't the same. And so, you know, there are some times where you know, a pin can be cut on the short side, and you can get more aggressive to that pin. Like the opposite of everything we said before, the three things that influence difficulty. Mm-hmm. Like if it's going to be uphill, okay, well, it makes it a little bit easier if I short side it. Okay, it's into the wind. All right, that makes it a little bit easier if I short side it. Oh, and it's pretty flat. Like it's not, right. There's no real elevation change. When I see those, then I don't have to be as cautious. Still don't want to short side it too much. And the thing where it starts to, get more challenging for amateurs is the thing that we didn't touch on, and that's what Jason brought up, and that is the dreaded double chip. Amateurs miss the green a whole lot more when they're short-sighted than when they're long-sighted.
Right.
And so a lot of the times, the real big miss with being short-sighted is kind of a disaster. Like, cause you open the face, you try to flop it, you throw it high and you leave it way short. And now you're in kind of the same situation. And all of a sudden, you know, doubles and triples come into play from that. So,
right.
In that situation, getting it on the green is paramount.
Right. The number one rule of a short game shot is have a putt for your next shot.
Yeah.
100%. Totally correct.
You're much more likely to make a 30 footer than you are to chip in from the rough again for your correct. Second chip. Okay.
Yes, correct.
I really like how you're talking about, Lou, with the green maps. The amount of times that I've done a playing lesson with a student and the course that I play at, the seventh hole is that shot where it's like, okay, if that pin is front left, your miss is being short-sided because you can putt up to that pin that's on this side. There's a big mound. If you actually hit the green and are on the green, but 35, 40 feet, you're going to three putt from being on the green. And so knowing the slope on the green, but people don't think about that, right? They're just like, okay, let me just hit it towards the flag. And sometimes it works out for amateurs on that because they're going to short side themselves anyway because they come up short. But knowing where the pin is, what the slope of the green is, it's the more information that you can bring into your system before you pick your smart target is important.
Yep, totally agree. Yep, spot on.
Frustrated with your ball striking? We have the solution. Use the Strike Wedge. It's a portable, multi-use training aid designed to improve the most critical part of your swing, impact. It acts like an external obstacle, giving you instant feedback so you can strike the ball more consistently without overthinking. Strike Wedge fixes fat shots, shanks, toe strikes, slices, and hooks. It's compact and effective, and it fits into your golf bag so you can train anywhere. Stop wasting hours on the range working on the wrong things. Start training impact today. You can find yours at strikewedge.com.
Issue 21, you talked about, this is a long time ago.
Yeah.
You're up to 111, 112, 115 or something right now. But issue 21.
Yes, I don't even remember this one.
Does adding speed make you more or less accurate? Does it make you less accurate? Am I going to become wild adding speed? And you found no.
Yeah, it was really interesting. So first, like I will talk, I don't remember.
How did you determine this? How did you determine who added distance and whether they were more accurate or not?
So I looked at.
What was your methodology?
Yeah, I looked at players that hit at least 200 shots in a calendar year with driver. So they had to hit these shots with driver. And their median distance with driver had to increase at least 5% compared to the prior year. So if your median distance with driver was 230 in last year, this year it would have to be 241.5 or more. So it had to go up at least 5%. And I wanted to find those people that, you know, got longer year over year. Now, I don't know, like, you know, in full transparency, I don't know if people were speed training. I don't know if somebody was injured last year. You know, given I wrote this.
Or they just got better at golf.
Yeah, or they just got better at golf.
Took golf lessons.
Yep.
Yeah, when I went to, there you go, took golf lessons. When I wrote this, you know, there was training to gain speed was, it's still popular, but it was really popular during this period of time. So I'm pretty comfortable that a lot of these players probably did speed train to intentionally add distance. I know a number of players personally that have gone through this journey, either players I've worked with directly or players that I know really well that asked my opinion on some of these things. And they added distance through speed training, whether it be Stack System, Super Speed, or one of the other tools out there combined with working out. Every single person that I know personally that gained distance, they got better. Their index went down and some went down a pretty good amount. Like just recently, there's a gentleman who is about 60, really good player. He's like a 3.1 index, somewhere in there. And he's lost 2.6 or 2.7 shots off his index since he's, you know, he's picked up 20 plus yards.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, really impressive. And you know, it's just the longer you hit it, the easier the game gets, and the more likely your scores are going to drop. So let's get back to what I looked at this. I wanted to find players that gain distance year over year. And so what happened with these players that gain distance year over year? Penalty shot. Like, all right, I'm going to be in the woods all day. I'm going to be in backyards. I'm going to be in swimming pools. I'm going to be wet in creeks and lakes.
And to be clear, but if you just held steady and made the same amount of penalty shots, that'd be a win because all of your tee shots are averaging farther. So just holding steady is a win.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
Okay. Right,
so 51.4% of the players had a lower penalty shot percentage after gaining distance.
Right.
So they reduced their number of penalty shots. So again, this is like a coin flip. Mm-hmm. That I found that to be really interesting. And 48.6 had a higher penalty shot percentage. They had more penalty shots. About 9% lowered their penalty shot percentage by at least 5%. So they had 5% fewer penalty shots. And about 9% increased their penalty shot percent by at least 5%. There were definitely some that got a little bit worse with this, but some that got a little bit better, which is interesting.
Right.
Fairway percent. Let's go to the next one. Unless you had a, sounds like you might have a comment.
We got a list. Go ahead.
All right. Fairway percent. 52.5% of players had a lower fairway percent after gaining distance. So they got a little bit worse. And 47.5 had a higher fairway percent after gaining distance.
And fairway hit percent is not a great measure of accuracy.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Right. We'll talk about angles
don't
and
like
stuff
that.
Later on, but yeah.
Recovery shot percent. So 53% of players had a lower recovery shot percent.
This is when a player has to hit into an area where they have to hit a recovery shot.
Yeah, they're coming out sideways. They're laying up, like they're in the woods somewhere. And 47%, had more recovery shots after gaining distance. Last one we're going to talk about here: the offline standard deviation. So this is interesting. So 64% of players had an offline standard deviation after gaining distance. They had a higher offline standard deviation.
So higher face value would seem like they're hitting it a little bit wilder. At face value,
it would seem like they're hitting it a little bit wilder.
Right? What that means?
Until you look at what this means, and this means that everyone kind of hits it into a cone, right? It's a triangle. Hits it into a cone, and so the longer you hit it, the wider that cone gets at the top. And when you actually dive down into this, without getting into all the math, we can look at offline angle. Like to understand like how straight you actually are. And 66% of players had a smaller offline angle after gaining distance. Wow. That means technically they're hitting the ball straighter. Like it's less offline coming off the face.
Right.
And it gets, so the next thing too, for players that increase their distance by at least 10% from the prior year, 69% of those had a smaller offline angle.
Right.
So these players got a lot longer, but they got straighter.
It's a good combo.
Yeah, it's a great combo. I want to add to this. So a while ago, I looked at PGA Tour players, and I looked at the 200 players that gained the most in year-over-year distance. And I removed all of the players from the Pro V1 bump. So I got rid of those players like during those years. Mm-hmm. And then there were a bunch of players that I knew were injured, and I removed them from the bump as well. And I left behind the 200 players that gained the most year-over-year distance. And like as a group, their fairway percentage didn't change. Like a bunch of this was like pre-ShotLink, so I didn't have strokes gain data. But I could look at, and I don't remember all the details, but I could look at things like total driving, which is a relatively decent substitute for strokes gained off the tee. Like it's directionally correct. They're as a group, they got better there. Like their total driving improved. They won a whole lot more money because they got longer. Like, so everything about their game improved significantly by gaining distance. And the same thing happened here with these players. 94% of the players that gained distance had a higher strokes gained off the tee after gaining distance. 75% improved by at least 0.7 strokes per round, which is crazy. And for players that increase their distance by at least 10% from the prior year, 99.8% of them improved their strokes gained off the tee.
Right. And that's
so basically everybody.
Ultimately what matters the most.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to win golf tournaments.
Yep. Definitely.
And shoot lower scores. So It's tough to adjust for, you'd have to go back in and you could do it, but you'd have to go back in to figure out how many of those players actually got better in their approach shots and other things too, to see if they kind of got better at golf as a whole. But Dr. Sasha McKenzie has talked about how when you can add speed, your cruising speed goes up and you're under more control. And so you can actually become more accurate as you become longer.
Yeah.
Not just because you're a better player, but because if you can swing at 120 just all out, not falling over, but like all out, then you can swing at 114, 115 kind of comfortably. But if right now 112 is your top, that's going to be your uncomfortable swing out of your shoes speed.
Right.
You can increase your top end speed on the golf course, but maintain more control when doing it. And so there's neurological reasons, there's physical reasons, there's other reasons, but I think that's what we see from the data there. No real increase in penalty shots, recovery shots. In fact, a slight decrease across the board for most of that. The only thing they really lost was a little bit of fairway accuracy. But again, that's a weird stat because if you hit a ball 200 yards at 4 degrees, it's going to go in the fairway. And if you hit it 300 yards at 3.5 degrees, it's going to miss more fairways.
Right.
So that's a misleading stat there. So where can people find more about Lou Stagner in all his glory?
You can go to loustagnergolf.com or find me on X. I've started calling it X now. I call it Twitter for years.
Twitter is good.
Can't do it.
I've converted. I still call it Twitter on occasion. You can find me there at Lou Stagner. Is that all we're doing today? Doing just those two?
Yeah, we're pretty short.
Nice. 20-minute episodes.
Yeah.
Check out issue 11. We'll have you back on and we'll talk about that and some other ones.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys. I really appreciate
it. Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate all that info. I mean, the short-sighted one was big for a lot of golfers. I honestly don't think they understand how bad it is for them.
Yep.
Yeah, it's an important concept at every level. You minimize that, and your scores are going to get a little bit better. That's for sure.
Jason, where can people find us?
You can find us on Twitter.
Boo.
thespinaxis.com or online at thespinaxis.com.
Take care. Thanks.
Thanks. Bye.